Blog Talk Radio.
Year End Plus is finished and a new year is before us. Today, Pastor Rock shares his thoughts on how the year ended and what we can look forward to in 2018 here on Ministry Beat.
This is the ACAC Radio Network, and welcome to Ministry Beat, a show designed to highlight the latest happenings at an Allegheny Center Alliance Church, a vibrant urban congregation located in the heart of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. This program will focus on the latest emphasis at ACAC known as Expanded Influence, especially the three C's of communication, campus expansion, and church planting. And now, here is your host, John Stanko.
Well, Happy New Year, and welcome back to Ministry Beat for another year of what we know will be excitement and a lot of great things happening at ACAC. We're doing an early morning broadcast, although most of you will be listening to it by recording, so you won't know that, but we know it, and Pastor Rock has consented to come on very early in the morning. Pastor Rock, good morning, and Happy New Year to you.
Well, thank you, John. Good morning.
Yes. How were your holidays? Many, many people listened to your transforming conversation that we brought over to blog radio about the holidays, and just I'm sure people are curious how were they for you?
Well, they went well. Following our daughter's death, and this being the first Thanksgiving and Christmas following her death, there was always in the back of our minds that tint of sadness, missing her, watching her children do Christmas morning without their mom there, sitting down together as extended family for mealtime without her at the table. You can't help but be conscious of those things.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, of those things really didn't set our agenda. Life goes on. We continue to follow the Lord and celebrate what He's doing in our lives and live our lives with purpose. So it's, I guess in some ways, I would say you keep on walking, but now you have a slightly noticeable limp.
Uh-huh.
You keep moving forward. The other things in your life remain the same, but you just have this slight limp, not that's observable to outsiders, but you're always mindful of it in your heart and mind. So,
mm-hmm.
So the holidays went well, but when you lose a child or a longtime spouse, things in your life, but they are different. There's always that recollection there on the back burner.
Well, I know your transparency has touched many people, and so I still see people listening to the broadcast. So it's not just the holidays when there's the pain of missing someone. It's all year round. So we know that broadcast is going to continue to minister and help people. Now, we also had a year-end event at the church called Year End Plus, and just in case someone's not from ACAC or maybe they haven't heard the good news, share us a little bit with us about how the year ended financially at ACAC.
Yeah, well, for ACAC, like I think virtually every church, the month of December is critical to making ministry budget. A lot of people do their total year giving in the month of December. If they're a business owner, it's at the end of the year as they close their books or as they're about to close their books that they know what their profit was, they know what they actually made, and then they base their giving to the Lord's work off of that. So December is every church's largest month. In fact, it's every nonprofit's largest month. That's why your mailbox during December is filled with giving opportunities from Christian organizations and secular ones. So, and we're no different in that regard. But we were behind our normal projections as we came into November and December. Plus, we needed to continue to underwrite our expanded influence initiative until such time as we would do our campaign this year for our campus expansion and other things God has set before us. So we set before our people a goal of $1.4 million in November, December. And that was an aggressive goal that not only would meet our budget, but it would position us well entering the new year and continue to underwrite the church planting efforts and communications efforts and so on until such time as the giving campaign. And our people responded so generously and so graciously, as they always do, without prompting, without empty promises, without a lot of stupidity. We just let them know the need, ask them to pray, and they not only met the goal, they blew right through it, and the final numbers were $1,625,000 and enough money to go to lunch at a nice restaurant. So it was a great way to conclude a great year, but it also just spoke volumes about the future and how the Lord is ordering these things. We're not just throwing stuff at the wall to see what will stick. These are things the Spirit has revealed that have been confirmed by leadership over time, visions that have been properly vetted and prayed over. And I could just hear the Lord saying, I got this. It's got to be a big step of faith, but I've got this. I pay for what I order. Keep moving forward. So it was our largest November ever and our largest December ever. And that's especially remarkable in light of the fact that we had a few people leave journeying with us leading up to and immediately following the last election, just because we weren't as political as they desired one way or the other. So when your numbers go down a bit and then you set two record months, again, it was just God shouting, don't put your confidence in man. Don't put your confidence in numbers. You keep your confidence in me, and I've got this. So it was it was an exciting time. I would say the year-end plus, that the plus was not only the additional giving. I would say the plus was the boost of affirmation and confidence that the Lord gave.
Now, you mentioned as we go forward, and last week I had the privilege of being in a meeting, and one of the pastors raised the issue of expanded influence and what does that look like, what's the end game, so to speak. And I thought you gave a really concise summary going way back to your early days of starting at ACAC, and I was wondering if you could just share a little bit about that as we move into another year, and our folks are going to be hearing about this initiative, Expanded Influence. Just share with us some of your thoughts on where that came from, and then we'll talk a little bit about where we think we're going this year.
Yeah, well, Expanded Influence, while we introduced that phrase to our people several years ago, it really has been over three decades in the making. And that's what I shared in that staff meeting. When I came to ACAC 34 plus years ago, when it was smaller, declining, discouraged, and many were prophesying it would be yet another urban church that would close its door, that its best days were all in the rearview mirror. When God led me here, he told me two things. He told me that it was going to be hard, and it was, and he told me that he was going to bless, that the church's best days were ahead of it. And of course, that promise has been fulfilled. But the second thing he said to me, and it was seamless, was that after he did a wonderful restoring work in this congregation. He wanted us and was going to use us to teach others about urban ministry, crossing historic and deep-seated ethnic divides and political divides, about maintaining unity and diversity, and that he wanted to use us to influence especially discouraged urban churches that are positioned where we were 30 years ago, and there are tons of them in our nation, and they're closing, sadly, every day, forfeiting choice strategic locations in urban America, and that's a crisis in my thinking, because culture is not influenced from the suburbs in, but from the cities out. And if churches that declare the gospel keep exiting our cities and heading for the suburbs where there's land and parking and money and perceived safety at all, we're going to become a cultural backwater. Years ago, I think in the 70s, a man wrote a book called The Suburban Captivity of the Church, and everything he was concerned with has transpired and continued. So expanded influence is merely part two of what God promised me 34 years ago. It's the now share what you've learned. Share what you've learned about renewal in an urban context, about ministry when you've got 2 acres of land and little parking, and about crossing historic divides. And certainly the racial divide between black Pittsburghers and white Pittsburghers is deep-seated, tragic, historic. This is a very racialized culture that we live in here in Pittsburgh. That's been shown again and again and again, both anecdotally and by sociological studies. So expanded influence is taking what God taught us and sharing it with other people. And an example of that, if we have a few more minutes here, John, a Presbyterian church in another major American city, and an Alliance church that is in the same situation we were in 30-some years ago. All commuting congregation in a minority neighborhood, wondering, how do we connect? What's our future? Both of those churches sought us out and sent staff to spend a day with our staff. And we were able to encourage them with our story, but more importantly, to lay out the journey, the things we learned, the things that we had to learn, the things we changed, the challenges we faced, the time that it took. We want to give all that away. You know, Scripture says, freely you've received, freely give. And that's what we want to do with the blessing. We want to pass it forward. So that's the second part of the original vision. So expanded influence is just the name we put on it to help people understand it and engage it. But it's not new. It's not several years old. It's decades old, and this is the time, and God is affirming it.
Yeah, we have meetings later today and for the next couple of weeks planning what is going to be some pretty major announcements beginning of February and then into March, and you've asked us to fast during the month of January. What instructions would you give to those listening for the direction of their fast? What would you ask them to be seeking the Lord for, and what would you hope would come out of the fast?
Well, we want the mind of God. That's the main focus of the fast. Fasting, as you know, heightens our spiritual awareness, our spiritual sensitivity, and some of the energy and focus that goes into consuming food gets diverted into listening for God. And so the main purpose of the fast in January is for us as individuals and as a congregation to discern the mind of God, to position ourselves to be able to say, we believe this is the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because as we come to those important decisions that have implications for generations, unless Jesus returns, as we come to those decisions, we don't want them to be based on our best thinking or our combined intelligence. We want those decisions to really be nothing more than affirming what we have discerned from the Holy Spirit as we have prayed, as we have sought, and as we have listened. Because when people know that they're pursuing a thus saith the Lord, rather than, well, this is leadership's next flirtation, and then there'll be something else, and then there'll be something else. When people know God has ordered something, well, then they're more confident about starting the journey. They're more confident that the journey's going to end well to the glory of God. And they're more inclined to make sacrificial gifts, to do their very best financially, because they know it's a God thing. You know, I don't think any of us can get excited about financing or engaging something that, you know, somebody just threw against the wall to see if it would stick. Well, let's try this. Let's try this. Well, that doesn't engender any commitment or confidence, either one. But when we know it's God, then when the giants emerge, and they always do when you're following God, we'll have confidence that this giant's got to fall, and on the back side of the giant, there's another level of blessing. So we really want our people, when these major decisions are made in March, and as we're sharing the information in February, we really want our people to not only know what it is, but we want them to know that this has been ordered by God. And God has given us this land, so let's go put our foot on it, claim it, build our houses on it, and pass what God has shown us on, not only to other churches, but to the next generation here at ACAC. Because I see a lot of what we're doing in expanded influence is not just for the kingdom elsewhere, but I also think it's for our children and our children's children, because God has miraculously preserved this ministry, and I believe he wants it to be a strategic light post on a redeveloping north side for generations to come.
Amen.
So
Amen.
The fasting is largely about knowing the voice of God, and really that's what fasting is about. It's not about leveraging God. You know, I think some people look at fasting, well, if we fast, God's got to be more inclined to answer us. Look, they're fasting.
Right, right.
No, you don't leverage God. You know,
yeah.
It's about positioning yourself to hear God. That's the most important thing. My desire is that as a congregation, we would know that what we're doing has been ordered by God.
Amen. You preaching this weekend, and if so, can you give us a little preview of what we can be looking forward to?
Well, it remains to be seen if I'm preaching. Lord willing, I'll be up there teaching. But you know, sometimes people come up and say, "You really preached today." So I guess it remains to be seen if I'm preaching. But yeah, the teaching this week is going to continue somewhat in the vein of last weekend. Last weekend, I just went back and reviewed our marching orders to look like Jesus, because if we'll look like Jesus, people will come. And the longer you're on the road, the more important it is to make sure you're still on the right road. This week, I'll be reaffirming the core value at ACAC of preserving the unity of the Spirit, diverse community, and diverse congregation. It's Martin Luther King Jr. weekend. One of Dr. King's great passions was what he called beloved community, believers of all ethnicities, crossing the man-made barriers that so easily divide us and creating communities of diversity that are united in Christ and demonstrate love and respect and unity. So I'm going to be looking again at Psalm 133, as well as Paul's command in the New Testament to preserve the unity of the Spirit, and be talking about what the unity of the Spirit is and what it isn't, because not all unity is of the Spirit. And then talking about the incredible blessings that God has promised if we will preserve the unity of the Spirit. And they are incredible blessings. Now, I've spoken on this in the past, but anytime I return to a theme, I'm in a different place,
sure,
a different spot in the journey, and I end up reworking the teaching considerably, and generally 50 to 75% of the teaching is new, and that's got to be the case this weekend. So this weekend we're going to be talking about the blessing. That's my title, the blessing that follows our obedience to that strategic command. And I point out why it's strategic, that strategic command to preserve, not to create, but to preserve the unity of the Spirit.
Well, I know.
And I'm
speak
doing
for all
a little
of us,
something fun. I'm doing something a little fun when I announce the title, but you got to show up to find out what it is.
Okay. Okay. A teaser, a little teaser there to make sure we come. Well, I know we're all looking forward to it, and it's going to be a great weekend as it always is. And thank you for your time this morning. Thanks for spelling some things out. I'm going to have you back real soon. We've got a lot more to communicate and talk about, and I know you're willing and very capable of doing that. So I'll see you in a little while, and I'm going to let you go now, and thanks for your time.
Thank you, John. God bless.
You too. See you soon. All right, there's Pastor Rock talking a little bit about year-end plus, talking about the year ahead, and not getting too far ahead of ourselves, talking about this weekend and what we can look forward to through the preached word. So there you have it. Spread the word about expanded influence about this weekend, and we'll be back again soon with Pastor Rock and other people to talk about what's going on at ACAC. Until then, this is John Stanker, your host, signing off for now. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks again for listening to this edition of Ministry Beat with your host, John Stanko. Join us again soon on the ACAC Internet Radio for more insight into and information about the Expanded Influence Initiative at Allegheny Center Alliance Church. You can also access this show by going online to www.acacreach.com. If you have any questions concerning Expanded Influence or with ideas for future shows, you can write John at john.stanko@acac.net, john.stanko. Thank you, and tell your friends about Ministry Beat.